Hi, Miss Bianca.
Hi, Ellie.
We are taking our listeners to Miami today via a phone call.
I don't know, that was more like Mexico. So funny, we filmed something for Undateable yesterday, and they have this, NBC does this fall preview show where they talk about all the shows, the new shows that are coming out, and the cast of Undateable hosted it. And, you know, it's like everything's like with energy, and we're talking about these shows, and we're all so tired, and it's just, you feel so cheesy when you're doing it. And so at one point, I just started doing that. I started going, it's so stupid.
It's kind of like a jolt of caffeine, though. Yeah.
The boys got mad at me.
Up. They did? Yeah. Were they annoyed?
Yeah, because it made them like mess up. So
because they were laughing so hard?
Like, you stupid mom.
They're like, you stole such a mom. The energy, such a mom. Oh, my God. Speaking of moms, my sister-in-law, Sarah Wilson, who we are interviewing today.
Yes.
She's a certified CrossFit coach, nationally ranked endurance athlete who's competed for Team USA at the world level in the sport of duathlon. And one of the only things that rivals her interest in athletics is her strong desire to design and create. So she has this incredible company that she is the CEO of. She is put all of her blood, sweat, and tears into this company. It's called Fashletics, and there's a collection of handmade jewelry that she designs and creates and hand makes, and she also has apparel. And she's just a badass.
By the way, did I ever tell you or mention to you that I bought some of the apparel before I ever even knew you guys?
No!
I loved it, because doesn't herself say, like, it said, like,
live, love, lift.
Yeah, live, love, lift. And she had really cool knee socks and, like, a...
Yeah, and because I'm not a part of her company, I think it's probably okay to say that we should all boycott Ann Taylor, because Ann Taylor's company, their loft company, they had some logo thing that said live, love, loft, and they told Sarah that she was no longer able to do live, love, lift because that was too close. So she no longer sells that apparel.
I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but that makes me so angry, because, like, there's enough for everyone.
Yeah. Like, I know. Come on, Ann Taylor Loft. Like, people aren't getting confused.
No one's confusing loft with lift.
Lift and, like, workout gear for CrossFit. It makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm the angry one. Sarah is a super, like, positive one. So our listeners, I think, will really enjoy hearing from her about juggling her work. And she's pregnant with her second child and all that goes into that.
And she's in amazing shape.
She's in amazing shape. Like, she could kick. When I met her, I was scared of her. Because she's also quiet, too.
Yeah.
And she just has, like, a very strong presence. So I was nervous about her at first. But I'm so in love with her. And I really consider her a soul sister.
Aww.
And she just sent a group family text. My husband's family really enjoys texting each other. And there's, like, seven of us on this text chain.
Aww.
And she just sent a personality type test to all of us.
Yeah.
And so we did it. And you answer, like, 20 questions. Like, do you usually plan your actions in advance? Or you are a person somewhat reserved and distant in communication, and you say yes or no to these, all of these things, right? I think there's 16 different personality types. Adam's mom and I are the same personality type. I mean, along with Oprah and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. But I thought that was so funny, because I was like, you married your mother.
Oh, my God. Of course. Of course. We should post that on Facebook. That'd be fun.
It's really fun.
I'm losing my mind because I'm looking for a new nanny. And as I have said here before, I wish I didn't have to have a nanny, but I do, because I get to do what I love for a living, and that's amazing. But it also means that I'm not home a lot. And, you know, up until this point, I was breastfeeding Magnolia, so she was at work with me all the time. And now, like, work's not that fun for her, and she has friends that she sees at the park and all this. And we've had some great nannies, but for whatever reason, mostly I think because they have lives and they realize, like, wow, this schedule doesn't really work for me. Because, you know, it's really hard. Every week is different. And I can never really tell you in much advance, like, what hours you're going to be working, whatnot. So We're really trying to find someone.
Especially because you're so hands-on when you do have time off.
Yeah. And I mean, it sucks, but like we basically had to make peace with the fact that we were going to be paying somebody not to be there sometimes, because I don't want to come home from work and have a couple days off and say like, well, I'm paying this because, you know, we guarantee a minimum amount mm-hmm. so that this person can get full time right. and pay their bills and, you know, feel right. secure. And, you know, Mike's and I outlook on it is the last place we want to skimp is childcare. So we want that person to feel like they're taken care of. But it's hard because we'll come home and I'll be like, okay, I'm not working tomorrow and the next day. So you have it off. And I know I'm still paying them, but it's more important that I spend that time with my kid. However, I really want, I'm just dying for somebody that can stay with us for years to come. Like if we have other kids and, you know, I know that that might be kind of a pipe dream, but I know people who have had their nannies around yeah. for years and years and years. And I believe that that's possible for us. And we're really, I mean, yes, I'm patting myself on the back, but I do think we're really easy people to work for. I mean, we are as accommodating as we can be. And it's a lot of fun at our house, you know?
It's so much fun at your house. I love doing the podcast at your house. We're at our fancy studio right now, but I love doing yeah. it at your house.
And Mike is really silly and stupid. And so he always,
He's so cute.
And he like makes everyone dinner and you're like become part of the family. So it's just kind of hard.
We just try to make ours laugh all the time. It's really obnoxious. It's like the comedy hour. Yeah. Like, oh, we have an audience. Our sitter came. I mean, the poor woman.
Stay with us. Stay with us.
Jesus, I'm here to look for your kid, look after your kid, not to like give you a pat, like applause.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing too, though, when you're looking for someone to care for your child, there's so many like things that kind of like, I think it's more like a fine line. Like you don't want somebody who's so much the parent that then you feel like you're not parenting and that they're making decisions outside of the things that you've requested, but you want someone who can make their own decisions.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, and I have many favorite things about our sitter, is that she lets me flounder. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so nice that she lets me kind of spiral for a second about like whether or not I'm going to drop them off at the park, or if that's a good idea, or if it's going to be too hot because it'll be like 85 degrees by this time. And, you know, she lets me kind of work through it. I mean, Sabrina doesn't, I try to really keep that away from Sabrina, yeah. like the nuttiness, but that my sitter allows me to sort of like, and then she'll just be like, yeah, that's great, let's do that. And I'm like, well, oh, you're the best.
And you don't feel judged.
I don't feel judged. And I don't feel like she's like the power player. Like I can't have like a domineering mother figure for my sitter.
Yeah, it's really difficult because you're asking somebody to come into your home and mimic some of the things that you do, but also be their own person. And I want you to be a friend, but I don't want you to be my best friend, because then the lines get blurred and then I feel weird about like telling you when I don't feel like something is
being done.
Then
all of a sudden all the dishes are like piled up because yes. you're like, oh, I gained a friend and now I have to do all the bottles.
Or like you're actually working on days with your child because your nanny decided that she needed to go somewhere and you're like, okay, you can go.
What was the best thing was with Coachella, like everyone lost their sitters at Coachella. That
yes.
was the best.
It's so
and
funny.
It was so true. Yeah. Oh my God.
We were all commiserating.
All of these women who used to get to go to Coachella were all just like, ugh.
Mike's like,
we're checking Instagram.
Mike's like, would we be awful parents if we just strapped her to us and went? Like,
I think that's a good idea. Well, we should just have that headphone thing.
We should start a group that's Coachella moms and dads that we all go together and we just stand in a circle with our kids.
Can I rent a dad for that? Because there is no way Adam will join me.
Well, come to think of it, I don't know if Mike would either. He actually probably would. Mike doesn't really like big gatherings of people.
Neither does Adam.
Adam and I were talking about this on our Montreal trip, by the way. We were like,
oh yeah, when you guys were in, I was about to say Europe.
It feels like Europe.
They speak French there.
They do speak French. It does feel
very. I don't know why I was insecure saying, don't they speak French there? Because it's like, it's an obvious thing.
It is an obvious thing. But we went there for Undateable and we were talking about how it's crazy that he and Mike aren't better friends, because there are some very, very distinct similarities.
Oh, yeah.
And they would probably have a great time together with nobody else around.
I know. That reminds me of, I read the pilot for Frankie and what is that?
Oh, yeah. Grace.
Gracie and Frankie.
Yeah.
Grace and Frankie. It's on Netflix. And that sounds like the beginning of that.
Really?
It's about the two husbands have been having an affair together.
It, like, really have been having an affair?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so they break up with their wives. So it'd be like if Adam and Mike had us for dinner, and then they were like, so we're going to all get divorced, and the two of them are going to be together.
And by the way, they're so pretty, and they dress really well, and they'd
have beautiful children together.
Married landscape that I could believe that maybe would happen. I think my husband's, like, maybe one chromosome away from being a gay man.
When I met Adam, I thought he was gay. I told my girlfriend that.
Anyway. Funny. I get it. Come look. My husband's closet is way nicer and way more organized than mine is. And he and so many packages come to our house.
Every time I'm
designers.
Over, there's like seven packages
of that show up, like designer clothing.
Yeah. I mean, Adam could use that. I still have this like choking feeling from the Montreal like cough I just did.
Well,
I just ate this like chewy Quaker bar.
I know we both made bad decisions while we're sitting in the studio because I forgot to bring food and you know, and then you get hungry because we're talking to so many great people and
because we're gonna talk fitness now.
We're both gonna feel great about ourselves.
You guys, Sarah Wilson is a force of nature, and I'm not just saying that because she is my big sis-in-law. She really is an incredibly inspiring human being who has, you know, created an outlet through her website also. She's got this blog where every month she features another, she calls them fashleets, but athletes that have overcome, you know, difficult circumstances or have lost 70 pounds or whatever's going on in their life, and she features a new person every month.
That's
and it's
awesome.
She's just doing so much good in this world, and I'm excited for everyone to get to know her a little better.
So let's take a break, and we'll come back with her on the phone. Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you, Bianca.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having
and you,
me.
And you're our most prepared guest ever. Like, the whole list of everything was very helpful.
I asked Sarah, I want to call you Moo. Is that okay? I guess I'll call you Sarah. I'll be professional about it.
Well, you can call her Moo. Well, I think we should tell the story.
Yeah, right. So, because I always think of a cow when I first. Adam's family is full of nicknames. Everyone has a nickname. And Sarah's nickname is Moo. And I was always like, she's not a cow. Like, I don't get it.
No, once when I played soccer when I was little, and, you know, my parents on the sidelines would cheer, go Moo, go Moo. And my mom told me one day, this woman walked over and was like, why do you call that tiny wisp of a girl Moose?
Moose is even worse than a cow. So will you explain to our listeners where your family got that nickname?
Yeah, my dad's side of the family is Polish. And when I was born, I have brown eyes. When I was born, I guess my eyes were really, really large. And the Polish word, my grandma thought I was like a little fly, and the Polish word for little fly is Muszka. So she just started calling me Muszka, and the name stuck and then got shortened to Moo and Mooey and any derivative of Muszka that you can kind of think of. So it means little fly because I looked like a bug when I was a baby.
Aww.
So cute, right?
Super cute. Bug-eyed. So flattering.
Yeah, bug-eyed.
So will you tell our listeners where we are talking to you from? Like, where are you right now?
I am in North Miami, Florida, in my studio, which is like a warehouse type space. And it's where I run my little business. I have a workshop here in an office, and it's roughly, you know, 5 miles from my home on the beach. So it's a pretty nice setup.
And how do you go every day? Do you take the weekends off? What's your work family life setup?
I take the weekends off, which is something I didn't always do prior to having a baby. But as you moms know, that's especially with husbands who work normal jobs, the weekend is pretty sacred time. So yeah, I do come every day, especially now that my son's 2.5 and he's in school. So I work at my studio while he's in school, and then I leave and go pick him up at the end of the day. And I often will, like, once he goes to bed or once my husband gets home, if I have to, I'll go. I don't come back to the studio, but I work from home sometimes. So
is it safe to say that your life pretty much consists of your business, which is your handmade jewelry and apparel wear, mm-hmm. exercise, and family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And if you looked at, like, where I go on a map every day, everything is within maybe, like, a 5 or 10 mile radius. So it's, like, my house, my son's school, my office, and my gym. And they're all in this little, I live in a very tiny world right now. So but I think if you want to be a productive parent, you kind of have to consolidate your life. At least I've found that's been really helpful, the geography of it all. But yeah.
Were work and home, have they always been the same since you had, since before you had your son?
I used to work out of my home. And I think right when I found out I was pregnant, I had just moved my workshop out of my home and into this studio. So it was kind of perfect timing because what was my home studio became his bedroom.
Well, also, you would want to get that out of the house with a toddler, right? Like, when I think of jewelry making, I think of sort of like putting beads on a string or something. But your jewelry making is like, is the word soldering? Is it soldering or
soldering? Yeah, it's metal soldering.
I feel like soldiers do it. It's so intense.
Yeah, it's definitely not baby proof. It's metal. It's very raw metal, and it's soldering and sawing and cutting and sanding. And, you know, there's sometimes chemicals involved. And it's really like not, once it got to a certain point, it was no good for a home of any kind. You know, it's dirty and can be toxic. And so I was very happy to get that out of the house, and especially away from the baby. I should send you guys the before and after picture of the of his bedroom, which like was the studio and then became his bedroom, because it's kind of crazy what it used to look like and what it is now.
It's really interesting because my facialist works out of her home. She has a studio in the back. But I asked her, like, one of the first times I went over there, I was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. And I was thinking to myself, like, how convenient that you work so close to where, you know, your child or your children are. And she said, you would think so, but no. And so, you know, I bet, too, from aside from the safety standpoint, it's also nice to have that break between being mom at home and going somewhere where you're actually designated, like, this is where I do my work.
Yes, 100%. I think that's true for most people who have, you know, a home business or something that could be run from home. It's just nice to have a space that's separate. Especially, I think creative people are probably more like this, where your brain can't detach from one thing unless it is physically separated from that place. So, you know, when it was just my husband and I living in the house, it was pretty easy. I could shut the door and stop thinking about it, but you know, the dynamic of the household changes dramatically with a child.
It was the constant interruptions, right?
Constant, I mean, yes. I mean, even if I'm home with him and he's, you know, like playing by himself and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to sneak my laptop out for a second. The second I pull that laptop out, mommy, what are you doing? Mommy, can I play? And he's like in my lap, you know, within seconds of me even reaching for my laptop. So I don't work around him. When I'm with him, I'm with him. And I've figured out that it's very counterproductive to try to be doing both at once.
So, you have a great quote on your blog, which everyone needs to read on your website, fashletics.com. And in this one post, you talk about sort of juggling having your own business and wanting to be a present parent. And you have this great quote where you say, while on self-imposed maternity leave, I remember Googling part-time CEO. No results found. Shocking. So what tips do you have for moms trying to balance everything and have it all?
That's hard. Well, first of all, it helped me that I wasn't starting this business when I had a kid. I had kind of started it up and it was running relatively smoothly by the time he was born. So I kind of knew what I was doing with the business, and I've made a lot of mistakes in trying to, like I said, trying to do everything all at once. And, you know, my own mom is always the voice of reason. I called her one day when I was driving home, and Ryder, they called me from school and he was sick and I had to go get him. And, you know, I had to basically like say, okay, just you have to stop working and stop doing all these things you had planned. And I was just like, mom, who can do this? Who can do all of these things? Like, how, I don't understand how anyone does this. And she's like, nobody does. And if they tell you they are, they're lying. I think to expect that you can be running on 100% at all time at multiple things is not realistic.
I feel like Bianca and I are feeling that right now. We're both like sitting here just being like, ugh.
And it sucks because, you know, as someone who runs their own business, and I'm very, you know, a lot of things about my personality are very type A, and, you know, I want to be controlled. I'm a perfectionist. I want to do everything the best it can be done, which requires a lot of time and energy, and it's just very hard to, you know, to do that. And
Bianca
very important
has three pages of notes that I typed up in front of her right now.
I'm like,
just glaring at me.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would say, people just have realistic expectations of what you're capable of. And that's something that's really helped me with, I kind of said to myself, okay, the pace of the way that I ran my business has changed. It cannot be the same as it was before I had a child. Oof. I'm not working, you know, 12 hours a day. I can't work, do whatever I want, whenever I want. I have to be much more strict about my schedule and much more careful with how I spend my time. So I, like you, Ellie, I make a million lists and a million schedules, and I don't overload those to-do lists. You know, I won't put like 15 things on to do on Monday.
Yeah, I'm still overly optimistic with my list.
And I'm don't be overly optimistic. I think I read somewhere, like, put two really important things on your list to complete that day. And that way, there's no stress when you leave, have to leave work. You know, like, oh my God, all these things are left undone. No, like, it forces you to focus on what's most important. You know, you don't end up wasting time, like, sitting in front of emails for 3 hours, which everyone could probably do, and it's not necessary. So, and I definitely still struggle with that. I always, you know, there are always times where I'm trying to do more than I actually have time for. So that's something I'm constantly reminding myself of, and constantly like reworking my calendars and making sure that each day is limited to what I am actually capable of accomplishing. So that when I do go home to my son, I can be relaxed and with him 100% and not stressing. That's a big one. You know, having realistic expectations. For me, exercise is super important. I think all that stuff about the releasing of endorphins and alleviating stress is all true.
Is there ever a day when you're like, ugh, I have to work out because this is also part of my business? Because you go to all the CrossFit games and you've got all, you know what I mean? Like, if you ever wanted to take a few months off, do you feel the pressure of like, but this is part of my brand?
Yes. And that's actually good motivation for me, because for a while I was skipping workouts to go to work instead. And then I realized I was starting to feel very detached from this fitness community that I built my business on. And I was like, I can't be a person who runs a business based on fitness if I don't myself participate in this community. So that's how I justify, you know, I spend an hour at the gym whenever I go, and it's not every day, but it's maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
And when I've seen this woman work out, when she works out, it's not like, you know, you're not there for an hour. You're not like taking laps over to the water fountain. She was doing pull-ups when she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah, it's intense, and I like it like that.
I think it's important too, you know, because I know it's easy to, I mean, I hear you talk about that, and I'm like, holy crap, like I can barely get out on like a jog for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's important for people to know too, that especially when we're talking about priorities and scheduling things and figuring out, you know, what you can get done in a day. It's like, some people aren't like that. And some people, that doesn't work for them.
Right.
And if you are one of those people, it's fantastic. And also, you know, you clearly are somebody who really enjoys exercising. I mean, you've made a life around it. And some people hate it. So
yeah,
there's both sides of that coin. So I think like an important thing for our listeners to know too is to embrace whoever you are as a parent and as a person in this life. And if that's not what appeals to you, don't try to push yourself into some mold. But for you, you're really good about including the things that are important to you and that you do love and maybe are a necessity as well.
Exactly. I think that's a good point. I mean, you find, for me, it's exercising. For someone else, it might be, you know, reading a book, or, you know, what other activity fulfills you in that way. You know, it's kind of like your therapy activity. You have to figure out what your motivation is to do that activity, because otherwise that's going to be the first thing to go, especially I think as a mom, where we're, you know, I think we're wired to be so selfless and give up our thing before we would give up on anybody else, whether it's our husband, our child, our work, whatever.
I do have to say also, though, Moo, that you revolutionized our family in terms of fitness, because when we got married, your husband, who was, you know, super athletic growing up, At our wedding, do you remember how much he weighed? Like, he lost how many pounds once you started working out?
I think he lost over 20 pounds. He weighed 220. My dad used to call him Deuce Deuce.
Deuce Deuce, 220.
He wasn't overweight. He was just like, yeah, he went from like being young and athletic and relying on his young metabolism and his active lifestyle to being someone who worked, you know, 8-9 hours a day and then came home and sat on the couch. And so I started doing triathlons when we moved to Miami, and I remember being at a bike race one weekend, and the guy that was coaching me was like, oh, I didn't know you're married. That's really cool. You definitely got to get your husband involved. And I was like, yeah, it's a good idea. And he's like, no, I'm serious. Like, I don't think your marriage like won't survive if you don't get him involved in this. And his point was more like, you know, you're super passionate about this. It's obviously having a life-changing impact. You need to get your partner on board in some capacity.
Right,
you know?
And not only one of you can join a cult. Like, if you're going to join a cult, you both have to join it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, and cults are very, you know, they're for families.
Because then everyone got involved. Because then one of your sisters became certified in CrossFit also. Your husband became certified in CrossFit. Adam started doing it a lot more. I mean, there were a couple of years where the whole family would show up in the summer and it was just like abs, abs, abs. We have all since then relaxed on that because, kids soften you in so many ways. Your heart and your middle.
You know, I think Ellie has in her prepared pages for me here, which is so awesome.
I'm never doing it again. She makes it. But I care about this one so much.
She makes a great point, which is that you do work. You sound like you get a lot of things done. So how do you take care of childcare? What does that look like for you?
Right now, my son is in school every day from 9 till 2:45. So I take him, either me or my husband takes him to school. We both go to work. I pick him up after school, and then he comes home with me, and we hang out until my husband gets home. And often my husband is home early enough to take care of, like, bath and bedtime and do that whole routine with him. So if I need to, I can go back into my little office, get some more work done, or, you know, make dinner for my husband and I or something like that. When he was an infant, I stayed home with him. Like, I did give myself a real maternity leave. Not real, but I was like, okay, 3 months. I guess that's standard, so I guess that's what I'll do, you know? And I stayed home with him for 3 months, just me. But I was able to work a lot from home. And then when he was a little bigger, I would sometimes take him into the studio with me. I had my assistant here working. So he would come with me to the studio sometimes, and that was really nice. And then when he was about 4 months, we got a part-time nanny, and she would come, like, I don't know, like 20 hours a week or something. And so I was kind of like easing my way back into like a full-time work situation. To be honest, like, once he started preschool very early, like right when he turned two, which I know a lot of people are probably not down with, but it worked for us and he loved it. So once he turned two, even though I'm still not technically full time, it feels like full time to me. So we'll probably repeat the same thing when baby number two is born, that same kind of schedule.
I want to get to the pregnancy in a second, but do you feel like, or is there ever a time when, you know, you've had to pick up your son from school because he's sick or whatever, and you're like, oh, I wish my husband could do this. But because he doesn't have his own business, because he's accountable to other people too, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Is that, that I'm projecting onto you, but it's frustrating, right?
It's very frustrating. And then, you know, I have to remember that the reason I chose this career path and to run my own business, I think even before I thought about having kids, I always knew I wanted to be working in a way that allowed me flexibility in my schedule so that I could spend time on the things that are really important to me, such as family. So I created this life for myself. You know what I mean? Like, I have to remind myself, this is what I wanted, and I designed my life this way so that I could be the one to pick him up from school. So I wouldn't have to rely on other people to take care of my kid at certain times, or, you know, I could be there as much as possible and still work. And there aren't a lot of jobs that, you know, that allow for that extreme flexibility. My husband, on the other hand, has a completely different setup. He works at a company and reports to other people and
travels a lot.
A lot more responsibility. He travels a lot. And that was his choice, and he supported me in my choices, and I need to support him in his choices and understand that we didn't make the same choices. So, you know, like, he was traveling this week and my son got sick and I had to rearrange my schedule for him. And there are moments where I'm definitely like, oh, you know, like, it's just so unfair that it's all on me. But then I remember, no, like, I set it up that way. So stop complaining and be appreciative of the fact that you can leave work to go get your son when a lot of people couldn't do that, you know? So it's definitely still hard. Like, I mean, I was definitely in rough shape after, you know, 48 hours with a sick child by myself, but I wouldn't change it.
When you got married, you guys were living in LA, and then you ditched me and Adam. It was like right when I met Adam too. Like, we lived in the same city for like a week. Got married, you moved immediately to Miami, like a week before mm-hmm. your wedding or something absurd. Like, just like really yeah. wanted to make it stressful for David's work. So you ended up doing the triathlon stuff to try to have like a sense of community, right? Do you have any advice for listeners who have recently moved and they feel like they're on an island because they've got their kids and they don't have family around and they don't really know what's going on? I mean, I know my own mother experienced that too. Like, she got married and then immediately moved to a different, got dragged to Texas with my dad and that
it's
sense
really
of isolation
hard.
With
I mean,
the kid.
Especially if you're a stay-at-home mom or you're someone like me who I was working for myself. That was the first time I officially was like, all right, I'm going off on my own. Prior to that, I had always had some other part-time job to supplement, you know, income and everything. But so I moved to Miami and I was by myself all the time, every day. And I decided I needed to join something and find people who liked the same things that I liked. And I found this organization called Team and Training, and it was, you train for triathlons and endurance sports and you also raise money for charity. So I was like, okay, these have to be good people. They're athletic and they're doing something for charity. Like, how
what a
I
bunch of dicks.
Yeah, losers. So, and I'm not a joiner. Like, I don't like joining things. I'm very introverted and, you know, I'm just quiet at first and all that. So it's like you have to step out of your comfort zone to find your new comfort zone. So I stepped out of my comfort zone, signed up for this team, and I ended up making great friends, having great experiences. So I guess my recommendation would be, you know, join something, find a group of people that are interested in the same things as you, whether it's like a mommy and me group or, you know, volunteering somewhere. But I didn't have like the workplace atmosphere that everybody has. We didn't know anyone here. And, you know, it's not like college where you like are literally living with thousands of people who are in the exact same situation as you. It's a big city and you have to find your little community. So for me, I know that I love fitness. I know that I, you know, want to be around people who want to do good things for the world. So that whole charity fitness thing was the perfect fit for me. So yeah. Join something.
Okay, in 2010, you competed in the duathlon world championship race in Edinburgh, Scotland for Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about 2009. So you qualify for the duathlon and the world championship in 2009. And then two mm-hmm. weeks before the race, you're riding your bike and you get hit by a car.
Yes. So I can still picture it so crystal clear. I was coming down a hill. I could see the guy in his window looking at through the front windshield. And I could see him making a left and looking at his phone at the same time.
Oh, God.
And I couldn't stop. I was going, you know, I don't know, downhill, so probably upwards of 30 miles an hour. And I just remember thinking, oh, this is not going to end well. And then the next thing I know, I'm being like woken up by all these other bikers that are in the area. And that was really scary. And I went to the hospital. I was really lucky, and I was wearing a helmet, obviously, and I didn't have any serious, no breaks or anything like that. No, I guess what I would consider serious damage. But they discovered that I had these nodules on my thyroid when they did the CAT scan. the doctor came in and was like, okay, this has nothing to do with your bike injury, but you're going to have to get your thyroid checked out because those are concerning nodules. And I was kind of like, wait, what? What is going on? Like, I'm thinking about, like, the bike injuries and the race and all this, and now you're telling me, like, basically telling me I might have cancer. So it was rough. And then I couldn't race, obviously, because I had the concussion. I was dealing with some vertigo, and I felt physically like I could have made it through the race, but there were moments where if I turned my head a certain way, I would get super dizzy and lose my balance. And I just pictured myself on the course, that happening, and not injuring myself, but like, what if I had knocked somebody else out of their, you know, off their bike, or hit some, you know, caused somebody else pain, or, you know, ruin their race. So I didn't do the race. And in January, I had to have this half my thyroid removed. The nodules were benign, so that was all good. And then I requalified.
But you had you had half your thyroid removed. Can we just?
Yeah.
Like, that's really scary.
Yeah, and I remember when I found out about the nodules and had to have the biopsy, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell you guys, because I knew everyone would just be, like, super worried until they found out what was happening. So I waited until I basically had the surgery booked and knew it was benign to tell anyone at home what was going on. And
did you also have to go through, I mean, because I have had so many thyroid problems over the years, mm-hmm. and it's a big deal. Like, anything affecting your thyroid is huge. So then you probably had to go through a lot of stuff afterwards to make sure you had the right amount of thyroid in your system. And I mean, it affects you hormonally, it affects you mentally, it affects you. I mean, did you go through any difficulties on the flip side of that surgery?
Yes. I remember I couldn't really, when I finally was ready to start training again, I was, you know, doing sprints at the track one day, and I could not breathe. And I just started crying because I was trying to train. I had like 3 months to train for this race again, and I had been out for however long, you know, from the bike accident and then from the surgery, and I couldn't breathe. And then, you know, I start crying, and then I can't breathe because I'm crying and because I don't know what's going on with my throat. And I guess it's kind of common when you have a surgery. They, like, one of my vocal cords was paralyzed or partially paralyzed. So when I was trying, when my heart rate would get up and I would try to breathe really deeply, the airway wasn't opening as wide as it should or normally would. And, you know, for an endurance race, being able to breathe is probably one of the most important things. So after the doctor told me that, he was like, oh, it's no big deal. Because for any person, it's not a big deal. Like, just to live your daily life, you know, you don't really.
Yeah, but you're Team USA. I just shook my fist in there when I said that. Team USA. So that was,
eventually, it got better. I don't think I was 100% by the time the qualifier rolled around. I qualified, like, by the skin of my teeth. And then the actual race, so the qualifying race was in April, and then the actual race was in September. So by September, I was pretty much, like, as good as I was going to be, all things considered.
And you did it.
So, and I did it.
And what about your son? Is he athletic?
I mean, he's 2.5.
It's kind of hard to tell.
He's a giant too. Like,
really?
He's a giant. So big.
He's definitely. I mean, he's a 2.5-year-old boy, so he's got a ton of energy. But he does like to be. He doesn't really like to be in the house. He likes to be out doing stuff. He's always happy to play games and sports and whatever. So it seems like he is.
We just got to spend a week with Sarah and her son with my mother-in-law, Sarah's mom. And it's so funny because my mother-in-law is like a celebrity to all the kids. And they want her nonstop. And they're just like, Bubby, Bubby, Bubby. So the competition between my little Sabrina and Sarah's son was so hilarious. Like, because they both wanted her 100%, like, all to themselves. And I can't wait to watch that develop over there.
Yeah, he is very competitive. Like, sometimes he'll just start, he likes to do, like, races, and he'll just start running somewhere by himself. Like, there's no one else around. And he just starts going, who will win? Who will win?
I love it. Sabrina's favorite thing to do is go, catch her, catch her, catch her. I catch her, I catch her.
Oh, God, that's
so. They crack me up.
So do you incorporate him, like, when in any of your active stuff? Is that something? I mean, I know sometimes, like, this is a really lame example, but I'll be like, all right, I need to exercise today. I'll just do it in the stroller. I'll jog. I mean, do you have to find creative ways sometimes to get your workout in at the same time that you're taking care of your son?
I've tried to do that, but he usually interferes in some way. Like, he likes 100% of my attention. If I'm like, sometimes I'll be pushing him in the swing and then I'm trying to like just do some squats while I push him. And he's just like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Push me, you know? So he's
probably so embarrassed already.
Yeah.
Mom, stop doing squats. It's humiliating.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I try to do active stuff with him, but like I'll take him to go swimming. It's not like me doing my thing and trying to involve him. It's like me trying to think of activities that happen to be active.
Right.
You know, like taking him swimming or going on bike rides or whatever it is. And I've also realized that I'm so into the whole working out thing that I really, like, I'm not satisfied, like Ellie said, unless it is, like, a super intense experience. So for me to do, like, you know, a little some air squats in the backyard while he's swinging isn't going to satisfy my thirst for the workout.
And what are your maternity leave plans now because you're expecting in September your second child, and I feel like your business is thriving. And you've got a thriving little almost 3-year-old. Is there such thing as maternity leave once you have a second kid?
I mean, I don't think in the way that most people have it. You know, it's not like I don't just shut off for 3 months. I'm still very involved in what's going on. And so also a pending childbirth is great motivation to just get everything organized. Like, I feel like I'm nesting at home and I'm nesting at my business, and I'm trying to hire a second person. I only have one person that works for me. I'm trying to hire a second person just so I know that I'll be covered here. I don't want to feel like I, you know, have to come in earlier, sooner than I'm ready to. You know, I'll be in on emails and phone calls and things like that, but I want to be present physically and mentally for at least the first 3 months of his life. Also just because of the whole breastfeeding schedule. Like, I remember Ryder was eating like every 2.5 hours for a very long time.
I just got so tired, like, listening to you even talk.
Yeah, I said, you don't really have a life at that point. I mean, I just stayed in bed for like 2 months. I didn't move. And it was awesome. But it's, you basically are a, I always think of like in the
you
beehive.
Really are a moo.
Yeah, at that point. Exactly.
Yeah.
But like in the beehive, when you see like the queen bee who just kind of like lays there and like shoots out the larva, and it's, you know, it's like.
But that's the first time. But then the second time, you got to pick up the other kid at school. It's like.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole.
Right. They're different. It's different this time around, for sure. But I don't mind. I think, you know, sometimes like, oh, wow, a real maternity leave sounds really nice, you know, just to focus on the baby and that's it. But yeah, like you said, I'm still having to figure out Ryder's pick up and drop off from school. And I think we'll probably have the woman that nannied for Ryder when he was little will come back like in those after school hours, just because I'm going to stay at home, but at least just to have another set of hands or, you know, someone, because I don't really know what to expect. And I think the mistake I made the first time around was I unnecessarily tried to take on too much, and I didn't, you know, I don't like asking for help, and I should have asked for more help when I needed it, and I'm gonna try to not make that same mistake again.
I think that if we could, you know, expand on that a little bit, I think that's a really, really important point for people to understand and really hear, is that I think we all do that. And I think, you know, you want to be looked at as the mom who can do everything, and none of us can. It's impossible. I mean, this is why, for the most part, there were villages and communities that raised children together, you know,
exactly,
in the olden days.
I have no birthing coach saying, Ellie, help is not a luxury.
Yeah,
but we should all probably just live in the same house, Sarah. Don't you think? Like, let's just like have our little commune compound situation, because then we can get help from each other. Because sometimes it does feel like a luxury when you always have to pay for it, right? This is why we should go back to the village mentality.
That's our situation, because we have no family here. So I'm really jealous of my sister who has my parents down the street. And I know that a whole bunch of other stuff comes with, you know, living down the street from your parents, but
a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. A really successful reality TV show.
Yeah. Yes.
A book deal, I'm sure.
Yeah, it just makes it harder when it's any time that you need that extra help, that it's someone you're paying and it's someone who's not related to you. It just feels, I don't, you know.
How did you swing it that the person who worked for you the first time is still available and around? Like, I want to figure out how that works.
Just, yeah. I think just luck.
Yeah.
So lucky.
That's awesome.
That is amazing that she can come back.
Because she already knows Ryder and he really likes her. And
she knows the quirks of the family. I mean, that's the hard part.
Exactly.
Like, they know all your dirty laundry.
It is hard.
Not a phrase, but they sometimes see my dirty laundry.
Well,
I don't
the skeletons in your closet, right. Or they air your dirty laundry, yeah. I think is what you're
Well,
thinking.
My dirty laundry is very aired because we don't put it in the hamper properly. But half the time I run around trying to pick up before our sitter comes because I want her to think that, like,
yeah,
as type A as I want to, you know.
Listen, we're interviewing nannies right now, and it's like the lady who cleans our house took 2 weeks off, and so it's like
ours went to Hawaii last week.
It's
our
like
housekeeper went to Hawaii.
A bomb went off. First world problems, but anyway.
You're like, it won't be like this once we work together. And they're like, oh, God.
Yes.
Okay, Moo, if you could give our listeners just one tip for, like, how to find the thing they love and to run with it. We're going to cut that because that's not a question. But just kidding, we'll keep it. But you figured out, like, you really followed your passion. And it was your two passions were creating jewelry and being an athlete. And you created the perfect hybrid situation for that. If there's a mom out there who's like, I don't even know what I like, what do you do?
Yeah, that's really hard. And I need to give my parents a lot of credit for that, you know, because they were always the kind of parents who were encouraging all of my siblings to just do what we loved doing and not what we thought was, like, wanted or expected of us. So as a parent, I'm going to do the same thing for Ryder. I'm going to let him explore his own interests and try to hold back on, you know, having specific expectations for him, whether it's like a career or a sport or whatever. But if you're an adult and you didn't have that kind of support growing up, I think that, first of all, you have to give yourself time to clear your head. And actually, I don't think you can answer those kind of difficult questions if you're always like, go, 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 keeping too busy or not giving your head any space. So just find time to really sit and reflect and think about what would make you happy. What little thing do you do that you're always happy doing? And what do you get lost in? You know, is it writing in your journal? Is it doing something artistic? And I also don't think that whatever you love has to necessarily become your career. I think I read this quote the other day that was like, do what you love and the money will follow. Like, that is not true necessarily. So
I've spent a decade proving that.
Maybe just do what you love because you love it, you know? And there are a lot of times where turning what I love into a business has, at times, like, sucked the joy out of it, you know? Where you're like, supposedly this business is built on something I love, and yet I don't really feel like going to work today, you know, or a different kind of stress is added to what is my passion because I have to make money at it.
Oh, I love that you're saying this.
Yeah, you don't, I mean, and also I think in our, you know, in this day and age and in the United States, there's, and the shows like, you know, like Shark Tank, whatever, you see all the people like, everybody wants to run their own business and be their own boss. And I did too, and it's wonderful for a lot of reasons, but you just have to be careful and make sure that you don't let the pursuit of it as a career ruin what it brought to your life in the first place. So
right, that's a good
once
point.
You do find that thing, just decide if it should remain a hobby or if you actually want to pursue it as a career as well. And I think of my dad a lot in this respect because he's, you know, he has a ton of interest. He's creative. He's great with his hands. You know, he's artistic in his own way, and he's a lawyer. And I remember him saying, like, he's like, I don't love being a lawyer for the sake of being a lawyer. He's like, I love it because I'm really good at it, and it allows me to have the life that I want to live. It allows him to provide for his family, take care of his children. But I think there are a lot of other things that my dad would enjoy doing more on a daily basis. So just kind of find that distinction. And if you have a job that is not your passion, that's okay, because jobs are great for a lot of other reasons, whether it's a community that you're in, or it makes you feel productive, or it allows you to provide for your family. I think it's like an added bonus if it happens to be the one thing that you are so super passionate about.
Well, so. Also, I think that jobs can be placeholders, and like we have this idea mm-hmm. that, you know, the thing that we're passionate about and that very well could make us great money needs to happen now. And I think people need to realize, like, just because so-and-so that you went to high school with, or so-and-so that's, you know, in your college class, or now in your group of moms and dads that you know, just because they hit it big at a young age and they're making lots of moolah and they seem to be so happy, like, that doesn't mean that that's your story. And maybe what's going mm-hmm. to be successful for you is coming down later down the road. So if you do something that you enjoy and maybe don't make money with it, maybe that's mm-hmm. just not for the time being. Maybe there's something later on, yeah. you know, down the way.
Or you will need those definitely. Skills that you've acquired doing the thing that you've got right now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I had
a business before Fashletics. It was another jewelry business. And remember, we were at
Full Circle. It was called Mushka.
It was called Mushka.
Was it really?
Yeah. And one day we were, it was rough. I never made a lot of money doing it, and I always felt like I was struggling. And I remember a couple years into Fashletics took off, but it wasn't like it took off out of nowhere. I had been running this other business for like 6 years that wasn't that successful, and I consider that kind of like the lead-in to Fashletics.
Yeah, because you probably learned so much.
Exactly. I learned so much, and I do a lot of things differently now that I was making, you know, were maybe mistakes, or I just didn't know enough at the time. But even though it was funny, we were at dinner one night with David's parents and my husband's parents, and he was like, oh, yeah, and just, it's like, he's like, oh, I'm so proud of Sarah. Fashletics is doing so great. He's like, and think of what a failure Mushka was. I was like, I don't think I would use the word failure necessarily.
See,
but
there's always
I thought what
hope.
He was saying. It was like,
he is. You are married to redheaded Larry David.
Yeah. He doesn't always have the right wording. But my point is, you could call that a failure, like a 6-year pursuit that maybe monetarily led to nothing, not nothing, but, you know, didn't really do much. And I eventually killed it as a brand. But what it led to is this successful business now. And sometimes I even get nervous about Fashletics now. And then I realized, look, I'm 35 years old. Maybe this is what I do for the rest of my life. Maybe it's just getting me to the next thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're totally right. Always keeping that in mind, that whatever you're doing at the moment isn't necessarily the end-all be-all. And it could be extremely good training or preparation or a way to open a lot of new doors somewhere down the road.
Yeah, it may just be just as necessary as the actual thing that will make you the happiest.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. And I know we have Ellie
and
your family to thank for that.
And our listeners who loved our podcast with Angie Green Fletcher, you can go over to Fashletics and find a great interview that Sarah ended up doing with Angie after listening to our podcast. It's super inspirational and kind of like a fun follow-up.
Yes, Angie is amazing.
Oh, and another love connection made by Atomic Moms.
I love all your guests. I love all your episodes.
Awesome.
Thanks, okay, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later.
Ciao. And we'll be right back. We're back. My mom session today is from Fashletics. Our listeners might remember when I had the mom session that was the maternity shirts from Fashletics that are so adorable, those tanks that rock. And this time I want to talk to you guys about her charm collection, because each charm is sold separately, but then she's got necklaces, different sizes, and she's got bracelets, and they're awesome. You know, they say things like, I am what I have overcome, struggles reveal strength, progress, not perfection. That should be tattooed to me. Strong is beautiful. And then, you know, she's got believe in yourself, pursue your passion, live what you love. Mm. And there are so many options for that. You can change them out. And they're just a good reminder.
I love inspirational jewelry. I always feel better buying something that says something great on it, you know?
And it's expressive.
Yeah. Right? Okay, my mom bomb. I have been on a manifestation kick. I decided I was going to order all these books and read all these different things. And I actually have just been listening to them on audiobooks because I realized, how does Ellie get so much reading done? And I realized a lot of it is because she listens. It's so much easier when you're in the car, when you're walking, running, you know. So I'm actually getting more of that done. But there's an amazing guy. I don't think he's alive anymore. Ellie, shocker.
Shocker. Is he from the 1800s? And did he run a cult? Tell me there was a sweat lodge involved.
Neville Goddard is his name. And I think the book that I got of his is the Neville Goddard Reader. And it's a collection.
Sounds scintillating. Neville.
Listen.
I mean, I hope you just Neville. Tell me you're wearing like red lingerie. You like cuddle up in bed. You've got a fire. And
smoking then you've
got
a cigarette.
Yeah, you got your Neville Goddard Reader.
It's so true. Anyway.
What country is he from?
No idea.
Sounds like Utah.
Maybe. It does sound like it, doesn't he? I thought this was great.
We need a fact checker on this show because
I mean, it's like I
asked about Montreal earlier.
I don't have the time.
No,
whatever. Some listener who has a lot of time
just
on
like,
hands.
So we just need a Wikipedia person.
Exactly.
We don't have the time to read the back of the book that it says the about. Like maybe you should actually like know something about the person who is like saying these things. Because what if you get brainwashed by somebody who's like?
Well, by the way, I usually do. But the fact of the matter is, I haven't actually started reading his book because I just looked him up online before I ordered the book, and I saw his quotes and I was like, oh, I like these quotes, so I'm gonna order the book.
Good. How did you find the quotes?
I just put his name in because I
how did you know his name?
I researched what
did he come to you in a dream?
What people yes, he's speaking to me from the corner of the room. I went online and researched what manifestation books people really like. And then when I find a couple that show up a couple times on Amazon reviews or whatever, then I order them.
Neville's a big deal.
He's a big deal. And by the way, I actually think I follow him or his account. It's not
on
him.
Twitter.
It's on Twitter. Before I even knew that he was like this great author and kind of manifestation teacher. So anyway, I thought this one was a great one because I know that you and I both feel like always like we're not doing enough, and you feel like, wow, there's all these people out there that are working for these huge charities and getting so much done and changing the world. He says, stop trying to change the world since it's only the mirror. Man's attempt to change the world by force is as fruitless as breaking a mirror in the hope of changing his face. Leave the mirror and change your face. Leave the world alone and change your conceptions of yourself. And that makes me feel better.
There's some listener out there going, change my face in LA. Some listener, change my face. And she's driving to Rodeo Drive right now to a plastic surgeon. Don't change the world. Change your face.
He didn't say change your... Oh, he did say change your face. Leave the mirror and change your face. Well, he meant the stuff behind the face.
No, I love it. I'm just teasing.
Guys, Ellie always breaks down my spiritual stuff. She makes me feel really low.
No!
I'm kidding.
No! That's so terrible. I don't want to make you feel low.
No.
I was joking. I'm being mischievous.
I know you are, and I love it. And it's why this podcast works, because otherwise it would get way too, like, hippy-dippy, grungy, granola-y. And if it were just you, it would get way too, like, anxiety. Somebody... It would
be just like, God. I'm sure those podcasts are out there. No, it's like really fun to be able to play off each other.
It's good. We're good yin and yang. And I think like what I love about you is that I can say things to you and you don't have an ego about it. Because there's a lot of people, like, when I'm like, Ellie, I don't think that's the best idea. You're like, okay. Yeah. like a lovely little puppy. You're okay.
I know. Like, if I were an animal, it's probably a golden retriever. How about you? What's your animal?
Oh, if I were an animal.
Cat.
Shoot, a cat? No, I don't think so. I think I would be like, no, definitely not. I would be something that, like, is really like, well, you know, everyone in high school used to tell me that I look like a deer. I don't know why.
I get fawn
because you have big eyes.
Yeah,
I have to think about that one. What animal would I be?
Well, why don't you just like meditate on my tigress statement? Because, you know, you're so quick to reject it, but maybe there's a part of you that is
a tigress.
Maybe you need to get in touch with your inner tigress, Bianca.
Maybe is there something that's like not as cool looking or beautiful looking as a tigress?
Oh, see, that's the issue.
Well,
maybe.
But I think like I would be something a little more awkward.
See, there you go. Okay, a tigress who has a thorn in her paw.
Or maybe.
See, I think you do. You kind of like move in this like luxurious way. Yeah.
We need to do like one of those Dove commercials.
You've got a broken mirror.
Where we go, I do have a broken mirror. I know. All right. We've talked way too much about ourselves now. We need to say our goodbyes and let everyone go back to.
I don't want to go in traffic.
I know.
I'm having fun.
Do you want to come over to my house?
Yes.
Okay. All right, guys. We're going to go have a slumber party. Ellie's not going home to Adam or Sabrina.
I'll Skype in the bedtime stories.
Perfect. It's great. We should have the girls over. Well, they are too young to do this, but when we can have a slumber party with the girls, that would be so fun.
Yeah. With the podcast or without?
Oh, my gosh. We should totally
do
it.
No, we shouldn't.
Yes.
There are boundaries.
We should get a little drunk. Little drunk. It would be really funny. I bet all our listeners want to hear that.
What, us drunk with our kids?
Oh, no.
This is why we're partners, people. We both keep it afloat.
Oh,
God, subscribe.
Yes.
Right? You got to subscribe so you can listen to all our old episodes because now they only show 20 of them.
Oh, yeah.
iTunes.
You only can see all of them.
That annoys me
because
we have so many that we've done since last November.
All right, we got to go home. We love you guys.
I really am like resisting leaving.
I know.
Trust. Love you guys also.
In your goodness.
Live out your greatness.
And rock on.
Atomic Moms. Somebody tell us who Neville is.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.